enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Let us worship through giving, joining together responsive reading number 41. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in riotous and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. See then that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. O man of God, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Let us worship in prayer. Father, we come to give ourselves for this day, for this time, for this hour, for thy purpose. Make us thy children, strong for the hour. Possess thy speaker for thy glory, and possess us to hear and then to arise and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Read God's Word. And this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I welcome you to turn in them to our scripture for today. And today's passage of scripture is taken from the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, verses 7 through 13, and reading from God's Word. O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried, violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, and fear on every side. Report, said they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge upon him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one, and therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail, and they shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper, and their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous, and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Almost this morning, I want us to turn our attention to the subject, burning hearts. I'm sure there's those of us here this morning who are tempted sometimes to resign and sometimes to quit our churches because of the condition of our church. But I think this morning we need only to look at the condition of the Church of England almost 200 years ago. As one writer has stated, at this time, the Puritans were dead, and the Methodists were not yet born. In one section of England, only one Bible could be found. The Bible was used to prop a flower pot. Also, during this time in England, it was advertised that you could get drunk for a penny, dead drunk for two. At this particular time, France was in infidelity. I believe England would have also been this way too if it had not been for one man, and this one man was John Wesley. The course of a nation was changed because one man had a heartwarming. One writer has said that Wesley did more for England than all other men put together. I believe this morning that our world today is in a sad shape. I believe that we have been wrecked by, quote, hot heads. And I believe the only way for our world today, as in the day of Wesley, is to call for a spiritual revival, which calls not for hot heads, but for people of God who have had their hearts warmed. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through verse 13, we find where a prophet of God got discouraged. Jeremiah says, no longer will I speak in the name of the Lord. Every time I speak, I become a laughingstock to the people. So many times this reminds me of my ministry at my church after a particular Sunday. If I resign to my church as many times as I resign to myself on Monday morning, I would be in a terrible position. But Jeremiah was a preacher that was impressed inside that possibly what he needed was not to resign, but was to have his commission re-signed. Jeremiah was a man that tried to quit preaching for God. But he was not able to do it. With all reverence, I believe this morning that Jeremiah was a preacher with a holy fever, possibly a minister running a spiritual temperature. I believe that Jeremiah was a man of God with a burning heart. Then I also remember over in Luke chapter 24, verses 29 through verse 32, of how the disciples were on their way to Emmaus. It was after the crucifixion. They were half believing. They were doubting. They were suffering a letdown in body and in spirit. These disciples says this is the third day. They were correct in their facts, but I think they were wrong in their conclusion. But Jesus came upon them, and Jesus began to expound the scriptures. And then the disciples said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he began to break the word?" And I believe at this particular time, these disciples developed a holy heartburn, and they turned into radiant witnesses for Christ. One person has classified church members in our day as figureheads, soreheads, and deadheads. And I think that this can also be applied to ministers today, because we have ministers who are also figureheads. We have ministers who are soreheads, and we even have some ministers who are deadheads. And I think today I would like to add one other category or classification to this, and that is we have ministers today who have hotheads. And I believe that we have an abundance of these. And the sad commentary is that the minister who has a hot head so many times has a cold heart. I'm reminded of a professor that I had in college who wrote a book on love. His only problem was that he had never been in love in his life. So when he had his manuscript prepared and ready to type, he took it to the typist. And the typist, just by chance, was a beautiful young lady. When their eyes met, something happened that was not in the book that he wrote. The professor came back to class and he said, "I was happier in 5 minutes with love in my heart than I had been for 30 years with love in my head." I believe this morning, as a pastor and also as faculty members, we set the pattern for so many of the lives that we have contact with. And I believe today that possibly we need to transfer this love of our heads for God and God's things into love of our hearts, to have a burning heart. This not only needs to happen to us as ministers and leaders of our church, but I believe it needs to happen to our church members also. I believe that our fellowship today is frozen together instead of being melted together by the love of God. Today we have plenty of teaching. We have plenty of activity. We have an abundance of good things. But I believe in the midst of all of this, we're just like a cat drowning in a bowl of cream. As ministers, we have plenty of discussion of revival. We discuss hindrances of revival. We discuss ways and means of spiritual revival in our churches, but we lack one thing, and that's revival itself. All of us this morning agree that revival is a work of the Spirit, but so many times we spend so much time over the expression of how this Spirit-filled life will be that I believe that many of us are missing the experience of living a Spirit-filled life. The vocabulary of a minister includes such words as baptism, filling of the Spirit, victorious Christian life, perfect love, full surrender. To me, it seems like that we are just as a crowd of beggars discussing the merits of different kinds of billfolds, and all of these billfolds are broke. I think that one thing that classifies or distinguishes ministers today, and particularly young seminary students, is the idea that we are afraid of extremism. But at the same time, I believe that we're guilty of the worst kind, and that's the extremism of impotence. We're so afraid of getting out on a limb that we never get up the tree at all. I don't know what you choose to call it. Possibly I have selected a wrong title. But I think this morning that we need a heartwarming, a heavenly bonfire, or a holy heartburn, something of this kind. I believe that the way forward is not head first. I believe the way forward is heart first. Christianity today reminds me of the feast at Cana when the wine ran out. We have a feast of good things, an abundance of things that we can have, churches and conferences, spread tables before us, loaded with superabundance. But we lack one thing, and that one thing is the wine. The exhilaration of the Spirit is lacking. This spiritual wine that makes the heart of man glad no longer is in our lives. The Bible speaks that John the Baptist was not to be drunk with wine, but John the Baptist was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the church members and the people there were accused of being drunk with new wine. But the Scripture indicated that these men were filled with the Spirit. I wonder this morning, has anyone ever charged you with being drunk with your Christianity? Oh God, how seldom have men thought us drunk. Art, literature, statesmanship, scientific discoveries, all of these are works of drunk men. We see it in the perverted side in a drunkard or a dope fiend or in a person like Hitler. But we also see this concept of drunkenness on the constructive side in a Beethoven, an Edison, a Lincoln, a King. These today are men that are using the constructive side of this concept of being drunk. Even children today are drunk. They're drunk on the wine of youth. And all of us here this morning, I think, have one time or another been drunk on this wine of love. What man here this morning cannot remember that summer night when he was in love? The moon and the stars were beautiful. And you loved everybody except that rival who was running you a close second for the heart of the one that you loved. And I wonder this morning, why can we not as Christians love one another and love Jesus so much that we love everybody else except the chief arch rival of our soul? I believe our problem today is that we have run out of wine. But I find in the wedding feast at Canaan, there was one there that met the emergency. The Scripture says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And I believe today that Jesus Christ can also meet our needs. If we take him at his word and let him fill our life with his Spirit, Christ will work a miracle. And I believe to those people whom we minister to today, they will say the last wine was much better than the first. But we shall never warm our hearts until we gather around Christ. Only a person can unite us. All of us here this morning have different beliefs, different interpretations, and there is no way possible for us to get together in jail. I believe the only place that we can get together is the place that we're already together, and that's in Jesus Christ. I believe that we need to forget which group we belong to. I think we need to forget which movement we're sponsoring or which button we're wearing this week, which Paul or Apollos we're lined up with, long enough to ask the question, is Jesus Christ real to me today? Is my heart warm? Sometimes I buy a present for my wife, Kathy. And I'm afraid sometimes that my selections are very poor. But Kathy always accepts these gifts because she knows that before I ever gave her these gifts, first of all, I gave her my heart. And all the roses and jewels that the world possesses. None of these can make a wife happy unless she first of all knows that that husband has given her his heart. And I believe this morning that none of the gifts, none of the preaching, none of the teaching, none of the religious observance that we go through with please our Lord until first of all we give him ourselves and our hearts. I issue a challenge to you this morning. Let him take over. I believe that if you will, he will give you a heavenly bonfire, a holy heartburn. And I believe that Christ will kindle your heart with fire from above. Ministers are classified as soreheads, deadheads, hotheads, and figureheads. And I hope today that we will change our lives so that we can be classified as ministers with a burning heart, that we can burn ourselves out for him. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this opportunity. And I pray, God, that this idea of being filled with the Spirit, this concept of actually being drunk with our Christianity, will become a vital part of our life. Help us to realize, God, that scholarship is important. Training is important. But I believe that full submission to you is the most important thing I can do as your servant. And Father, help me to always have a burning fire within my heart. Help my life to be such that when people are around me, my faith will be contagious and they will want to know something about this Christ that I serve. Father, may thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee, pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. For we ask it in thy name. Amen.